Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast. Hello, everyone. This is David Nagel, and I'd like to welcome you to the Successful Mind Podcast and to my amazing and successful guest, Emily Williams, who is the author of I Heart My Life. Let me just tell you, I'm going to kind of just read your bio, Emily, for everybody. Emily Williams is a success coach, an entrepreneur, an author with a seven-figure business who at one point couldn't get a job at Starbucks. Now, we've got to get into that conversation. After experiencing a quarter-life crisis, she moved from Ohio to London, where she knew no one. And in 2014, launched her business, I Heart My Life. She made $442 in her first month and went on to hit six figures in 6 months before her 30th birthday. She grew it to a seven figures in under 18 months. Today, she works with female entrepreneurs all over the world, helping them bust through their obstacles that hold their dreams and goals hostage so they can free themselves to live the lives that they want, build their own online businesses, and hit their money goals. She's a Hay House author and has been featured in Money, Entrepreneur, Business Insider, Forbes, and Success Magazine. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you here. I mean, I think your book is amazing. I've heard about you from many people. We've had interactions together, and it's really great to talk to you. And your story, what I know of it, is I find absolutely fascinating. But I would really like to kind of go into that, because I think that these kinds of stories really help people that were just like you and I when we were in places where we were stuck and they can't figure out how to get out. They have a big dream. They have a goal. They don't know how to get there. And they're literally, you know, kind of living in the mire of what they're looking at as their life. So tell me a little bit about your story. What happened? How come you couldn't get a job at Starbucks? And how did you go from that to being a millionaire?
Yeah, great question. So like you, David, from what I understand, I grew up in the Midwest in Ohio, and I had a pretty normal life. The only thing that wasn't normal is that I was always surrounded by entrepreneurs. My dad was an entrepreneur, both my grandpas were. And so I always had this dream of having my own business. But at some point, I kind of fell into the path that everyone takes. And so I went to college, I got a degree in psychology, and I thought that my next step was to get a master's in counseling psychology. So I literally applied to 12 schools around the US. I traveled to all of them because I'm very into checking out how something feels before I actually make the leap. And so I visited all these schools and finally decided I was going to go to Northwestern in Chicago. So I was literally driving there in the summer of 2008 with my mom, and I had this feeling in the pit of my stomach about 2 hours into the drive. And I couldn't explain it, but it literally brought tears to my eyes. And my mom noticed that I was crying and just asked me what was wrong. And again, I couldn't explain it, but I just told her I didn't feel like this was the right next step for me. And she just kind of sighed and she turned the car around and we went back to Ohio. And from there, I just entered into that quarter life crisis, because as someone who graduated in the top of her class, thought that she had it all figured out, to think that I now didn't have any plan at all, it was really painful. And so I moved back in with my parents and I did a few odd jobs. And that was when I also tried to get a job at Starbucks. And for whatever reason, I literally had to apply 3 times before they let me in or had an opening or whatever that was. And I started working there and I remember just feeling so lost. There was even a day where my dad, who he's not a coffee drinker, he drove through the drive-thru in the morning and I was opening the store that morning. And I just saw him out the drive-thru window and I just felt like such a failure. And there's nothing wrong, you know, with working at Starbucks, but for me, that wasn't part of the plan. And so it was very, very challenging. And I had to start to try and pay attention to any small little bit of clarity that I actually did have. And once I started to focus on that clarity, I started to get a bit more guidance towards what I was actually meant to do next. And all I can kind of explain it as, is I heard this little voice within calling me to move to London, England, not London, Ohio. Okay. And that was a weird thing. Like, no one in my family had ever left Ohio. I didn't know why I was being called to move to London. And I just had to start to unravel that. And so I ended up applying to a master's in nonfiction writing program in London, which was super random to everyone on the outside looking in. But I wanted to write a book, or I thought at that time I did, and ended up packing myself up, moving there in August 2010. I didn't know anyone in the city, and literally just packed up and moved and started that program.
Okay. So here's the question that I'm dying to know. When you, it's very interesting because I had a very similar experience in my life like you had when you were on your way to Northwestern. Mine was when I joined the Army and I moved to Germany. There were a few things that happened and I instantly knew I had made an error, which I then immediately began to work on correcting. But I went through something that's very interesting. I'm curious if you experienced. When you started looking for any little bit of clarity and this idea of moving to London comes into your mind, was there, like, did you go through a period of like, am I crazy? Like,
here yes. I am.
Like the doubt and the chatter, like this is the most, this is nuts. Like you've totally lost it. You're talking about, you don't go to college, you're working at Starbucks, you're going to move to London. Like, what is this about? Tell me about that experience.
Yeah, exactly. So I had been to London previously to visit a friend there, and I fell in love with the city. And I, at that moment when I was visiting, I felt like I could live there, but I didn't tell anyone because I thought that that was kind of crazy. Like I said, no one in Ohio had ever left. And so when I started to really entertain this idea of moving to London, I was scared to tell my parents. I didn't know how people were going to react. And frankly, some people did react in a very unsupportive way. And so it was a challenging decision. And for a long time, I did think I was crazy, but I started to realize, you know, my heart had gotten me into this mess and I needed to continue to listen to it. I felt like I was being guided in a certain direction and it couldn't be for nothing. And I also thought, I'm 20 something years old right now. If I don't do this, when am I ever going to do it? It's kind of now or never. And staying in Ohio for me, that was not even an option because I was so unhappy. I had fallen into a major depression and I just had to make a change. So it was kind of like one of those moments where I couldn't not move there.
Yeah, you know, there's something weird about the Midwest that way. Most of the people that I grew up around, at least the ones that I still know, they never left. A lot of them never even left the area where we grew up. I was having a conversation with Marianne Williamson one day, and she was a minister at a church outside of Detroit for several years. And she was telling me, now Marianne's from Texas, right? So she was telling me, she said, we got on this topic. She said, it's the weirdest damn thing. It's like, there's something in the Midwest that sucks you in and you can't get out. She's like, I tried for several years and could not get out. She's like, what is that? I'm like, I don't know. I'm asking you what that is, because it's a weird mindset thing. Like, they won't let you, once you go in, it's kind of cultish. They don't want to let you out. So which brings me to my next question about this, because number one, I love the name of your book. I mean, it's really cool. And it says, it's short, but it says a whole lot, especially the heart part about it. But that brings me to the question of, that's not typically the way people in the Midwest think, like that they're being guided, they can trust their heart. They're so much more practical. How did you give yourself permission to think that way? Or were you raised that way? Was that language? Or an ideology that you were raised with. Where did you get that from?
Yeah, so because my dad is an entrepreneur, I was given personal development books my whole life. So for Christmas, we got books like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teenagers, all of that stuff we had access to. But in the book, in my book, I actually talk about the fact that I wasn't taught anything about intuition. And I think for me, I started to realize after turning the car around, after moving to London, that I needed to listen to my instincts. I needed to listen to my heart. And that was actually going to be the best resource that I had in terms of knowing what step to take next and what direction I was being called to go in. And so I wouldn't say that I was taught to listen to that, but I started to see my life unfolding and started to see that my heart did guide me in the right direction when I began to listen to it. And I think that first leap of faith, that first step forward, that first, you know, literal turn of the car around for me, it was challenging. But then once you see that things are happening the way that you desire, things are starting to unfold, you're starting to get clearer, then you're able to trust it even more.
Okay. So as you're making decisions, and you're seeing that they're the right ones, you're building trust, which is interesting because in the recommended reading in your book, you have Alanya Van Zandt's book on trust, which I think is a fantastic piece of work. I think it's her best work, to be honest with you. And it's so absolutely essential. So you're doing this progress or this process and making progress. And you said you joined a writing course. Did I have that correct?
Yeah, because I had gotten a degree in psychology in the US, but because the prerequisites were different in the UK, I couldn't apply for a master's program in psychology. And so I thought, okay, well, what's the other thing that I know that I have clarity on? And I'd always loved writing. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to find any way I possibly can to make it to London. So I'm going to apply for a student visa and I'm going to write a book.
Okay. All right. And I'm amazed, but... so then what happens? Take us from there.
So I arrived, I started my master's program, and I threw myself into the world of online dating. Now, there's a reason why I'm sharing that part of the story, but for those who have moved to other countries or even, you know, all the adults listening, I do find that it's challenging to make friends as adults, especially if you're not in a normal work environment. And when I moved to London, I worked as a nanny, so I didn't really have access to a lot of different social groups. So I started online dating and ended up meeting my husband online a year later. And during that time, like I said, I was working as a nanny, then I worked as a matchmaker. And fast forward to 2013, my best friend at the time, she sent me an email and all it said was, "I thought you'd like this." And it was a link to Marie Forleo's website. And I clicked on the link and just totally devoured everything that she had to offer, all of her videos. And that, in my opinion, was the second moment my whole life changed course, because it was, as cheesy as it sounds, it was that aha moment for me where I realized this is the thing that I've been searching for. I knew about coaching to a certain extent because my dad always had coaches, but Marie Forleo and a lot of the coaches we see now are very different than the stuffy men in suits who came to my house to coach my dad. So I felt like I resonated with Marie and I could see myself in her. And she really inspired me to move forward as a coach. And I began to think about who I wanted to work with, because I think for every new coach, it's kind of like, who is my ideal client? Who am I going to be able to help? And I knew, because I had been in my own quarter life crisis, and I, for so many years, did not love my life, that I wanted to help other women fall in love with themselves and their lives. And that kind of morphed into me working with entrepreneurs, because as I gained traction and I built my brand, other people started to pay attention and started to ask me how I was able to do it. And so that's really how I Heart My Life was born. And that was, you know, we launched at the end of 2013, and I got my first client a little bit after that. And yeah, that's the beginning of it.
Wow. That is fantastic. Yeah. And Marie's stuff is amazing. Marie is an absolutely amazing person. How did you meet Gina? Because you worked with Gina too, right?
I did. Yeah. So David, I always think like, I haven't directly worked with you, but I have worked with you because I've worked with so many people who have had the honor of being your clients. And yeah, so when as you read in my bio, there was this period of time where I was struggling to get clients, and it was July, 2014. And I remember I was in San Francisco sitting on a random park bench, taking discovery calls, and I got my first client. And I had two calls that day. The first person signed up, paid me $442. And the other person, she said, oh, actually, you know what? I'm going to work with this woman named Gina DeVee, not you. And I was like, okay, thanks for the honesty.
Yeah.
And who is Gina? And so I looked up Gina and fell in love with her work as well. And she's one of the people who, I mean, greatly impacted my success in the first year of my business.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And Gina does do that. There's no question about it. She's a force in nature for sure. In the idea of helping people fall in love with themselves, fall in love with their life, where did the money component come in for you? Was that always there, or did you discover that you wanted that, or what that could offer your life along the way? How did that happen?
Well, it was actually Gina who began to tell me. I was working as a matchmaker, and I was making about $30,000 a year. And she told me, well, you know that you could turn your yearly salary into your monthly salary, right? And I was blown away. And I know you talk about this all the time. And I couldn't wrap my head around that, but I liked the sound of it. And so I decided to entertain everything that she was saying to me. And like I said, I made that $442. And then for a while, I was really struggling. I had a period of 54 no's in a row. So I was literally getting on sales call after sales call, and everyone was saying no to me. And I finally got that support and hired Gina and worked with her in her group program. And she began to really open my eyes up to what was possible. And I love Gina and I love her work. And I also could see she was just another person. And if she could do it, I could do it too.
Yeah.
So I just kept literally raising the bar. And she at one point had this program for women who wanted to make seven figures. And it was $120,000. And I had literally just hit six figures in my business. And she reached out to me and said, do you want to be a part of this? And I had seen it go by. I've been seeing the emails, but I thought, well, you probably need to be at least 30 years old to be a part of this, or you need to be at least multiple six figures. But I decided to take the leap because she saw something in me that maybe I was starting to see in myself. And that was really the catalyst for me being able to create a seven-figure business in my first 18 months.
That's fascinating. You know, I've told people on occasion that when I had my opportunity to coach with Bob Proctor back in the 90s, when that offer was made to me, I thought he was making a mistake. Like, I know I really did. Honest to God, God's truth. I did not think that I had any qualifications. Like, I was embarrassed, literally embarrassed. Like, I thought there's no way he must think I'm something else, because there's no way this guy would ever coach me if he knew like what my background was, that I hadn't finished high school, that, you know, I mean, I just didn't think I was ready to do that. And he said to me, he said, you don't believe you can do it, do you? And I kind of looked at the floor and I looked back up at him and I said, no, Bob, I don't think I really believe it. I'm like, I want to, but I don't think I believe that I could. And he said, would you believe in my belief that you could? And something magical happened for me when he said that. And I was like, if this guy thinks that I can do this, he must see something in me that I don't see in myself. And of course he did. But I don't know that I would have actually gone through with it had he not said that. And that's kind of the same type of situation that you had with Gina.
Exactly. And I think I believe in myself. I know that I would have gotten there eventually, but I think the speed at which she told me I could do something, I had no idea that that was actually possible. I just wanted to hit six figures before my 30th birthday. And that was the only goal that was really on my radar. I thought I had to be at least in my 40s to hit seven figures. And so it's that, you know, what you always talk about, like quantum leaps. It's shortening the time frame of what you believe is possible. And because I could see it in her, I could see it in other people out there doing the same thing, I started to adopt that belief for myself.
That's amazing. Well, you're way the hell ahead of where I was at that time in my life. But the I still, in everything that I do, it's still one of the most fascinating things that I love to teach and still study is how fast you can make something happen, especially when you're talking about money, because, you know, most people, well, you, for some reason, you associated being, having that much money with being 40 years old. I associated it with education or being connected to the right people, so to speak. Those are kind of stories that I heard when I was growing up. But when you remove all of that and you get it down to, is a person doing what they love to do, and are they in a field that, or in a vehicle, I should say, that can produce that kind of an income or generate that kind of money, it's so possible to make it happen in a very short period of time that it would blow most people's mind when it happens. And it's always fun to watch somebody go through that process because it's. Yeah. Usually starts off with a tremendous amount of fear, like 54 calls and nobody says yes. You know, that's daunting, right? When you're first starting out.
Oh, totally. I remember telling my coach that nothing was happening. It's not working. What am I doing wrong? And I just felt horrible about myself. And she told me, I'll never forget, this is somebody who coached under Gina. She said, you're like the pot on the stove about to bubble. It's heating up. You just can't see the bubbles yet. And you have to keep going. And so that's always been my belief. If I just keep going, then I'm bound to get there. It's going to happen. And why not have it happen quicker?
Yeah, I totally agree. So where do you go next? What's your vision?
So you mean during that time or now?
No, then. And well, yeah, now too. But then, like yeah. From that place, where did you see yourself going?
Yeah. So then we just literally kept moving forward with the company, and my husband, who I mentioned earlier, he ended up joining the company and became a coach himself. So that was really cool to be able to see him. He had been in a job in TV for 14 years, making again, $35,000 a year, and to see him be able to follow his dreams was absolutely incredible. And so that was a huge, huge milestone for us. It's also been a huge learning curve for sure. Yeah. So we just, you know, we kept moving forward with the company, and every year we were hitting seven figures and have really gotten to this place now finally where I've realized in order to scale, in order to move to that next level, it's all about team. And so now that's kind of where we are today, is putting so much focus on having more team members to be able to grow and to be able to really take this to the next level, because I feel like I'm just getting started.
Yeah, you are. I mean, can you imagine where you're going to be in another 10 years?
It's amazing. I have a huge smile on my face. I can only imagine.
It's, you know, one of the things that's fascinating to me when I interview people where maybe we have or haven't met, but there's this interesting lineage of individuals, because the Marie Folio, when I first met Marie, she was coaching under Allie Brown, and I was helping Allie Brown become a millionaire in her business. And I was also working with, she was running masterminds at the time, and I would come in and speak and teach to her masterminds, and Marie was in there at that time. So she hadn't done any of the stuff that she, like we see her now, you know, she's done really amazing things, and she's had thousands of people go through B school and all, you know, and all the different people that she's met and what she's managed to pull off is fantastic. But yeah, so like there's this interesting lineage of watching this happen, and it spread out where these people are actually living the life that they really want. They're earning the amount of money that they're earning. And like, in a lot of ways, so many of us are actually all connected and part of that journey and process. And in the process, what I think is really fascinating is how we're exponentially liberating other people to do the same thing.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's really the main point of everything that we do here at I Heart My Life is to be an example of what's possible. Because I think especially for women and especially for those of us who are aware that there's certain programming going on beneath the surface that's not helping us reach our goals, it's important to be consistently reminded of what's possible. And we can see that in other people. And so I feel really proud of the fact that I really do walk the talk. I really do practice what I preach. The brand that you see, all the pink, everything, it really is me. And, you know, it's just so important, I think, to be as open and honest and vulnerable as possible so people can really see what's going on, how they do it, how they make it happen for themselves, and be a constant champion of, you know, this is possible for you too.
In your journey so far, what would you say your biggest challenge has been?
Team, for sure. I'm one of those people who I taught myself how to do everything. Yeah. And so I fell into this trap of doing everything for far too long. And so, like I said, I've only now started to, not now, but about a year ago, we started to really put a huge focus on team. And, but it's been challenging to know how to be a leader and how to connect with the team and how to delegate and all that stuff that, I don't know, maybe you can learn it in a book, but I feel like I'm getting a crash course in it. And, I guess that's been the case for pretty much everything in the company.
I don't think you can learn that in a book. I mean, I did the same thing. I started off, you know, all by myself, and it was just me doing everything, including booking hotels and negotiating contracts and, you know, then staying up till 2 a.m. making sales calls, like all of it. And building team was extraordinarily challenging, you know, learning all the processes of actually how to do that and finding out that you're hiring the wrong people because you like them and they're not actually the people that can do the job, those types of things. But I think what it does do though is it makes you an incredible businesswoman because you have all of that experience and then so much more to share with other individuals. But I hear that a lot. Like, it's one of the biggest things that I hear people being challenged with, because it's not, I mean, unless you grew up, you know, working in the family business where that was happening and you were part of it, there's really no way for you to know that. Well, I suppose if you work for a corporation or something where you were in charge of team building, but to do it on your own is really like, it is definitely a crash course in getting where you want to go. And you got to keep your mind straight, of course, when you do that. So the last question I want to ask you is this. I ask all of my guests if they would take some real pearl of wisdom that they've learned that they think that will help other people in the form of a successful mind tip and share that with everybody. Would you be willing to do that?
Of course. I would say for me, it's really don't allow that fear to get in the way of your dreams and really trust your heart, trust where you're being guided. And you mentioned the book Trust. And I have to be honest, we've shared that with all of our clients because of you, because of the episode that you recorded on that topic and that book. And I think that's really what it boils down to. Trust your heart, trust what you're being called for, and just make those desires stronger than those fears.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. Where can people find out more about you and what you're doing and get in contact with you and all that kind of great stuff?
They can find me at iheartmylife.com. And I also just want to say, you did mention the fact that there is this lineage that connects us, but I'm not sure you know just how much you've impacted my success, my life, my relationship with my husband. And so I just want to say again, thank you so, so much for vicariously being a part of the work that we've been doing in the world, my own transformation, the success that we've had. And I'm just immensely grateful for you.
Thank you so much. That you have no idea how much that means to me. I'm really blessed that so many people have been touched by things that I've done. So I think that gives me more joy than anything else that I do.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, everybody. So this is the great Emily Williams. I really encourage you to get her book, I Heart My Life. And Emily, thank you for being on the Successful Mind podcast.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.